Okay, so today's topic, as you know, I was really struggling whether I should give a shiur on this topic. It's uncomfortable. It's just as uncomfortable as it is making a siyum as Motzei Shabbos. And the only reason why I make a siyum is the same reason why I'm willing to give a shiur on this topic is because it's not to advertise any of my own accomplishments. It's hopefully to just help inspire everyone else who's here listening and hopefully give some guidance and advice how to go about something similar in a different way, everyone their own pace and their own time. That's right. So, and additional to that, recently I was at a Sima Shas that someone just made after 18 years. It took a person 18 years to complete Shas, which itself is something tremendous to hold on to such a goal for so long without giving up. So everyone could go at their own pace. Some people could do it quicker, some people could do it faster. But the number one point is you need to have that goal. You need to set a goal at what you want to accomplish. And to have finishing shots, I'll explain why that's something important to have as a goal. But once you set that goal, so we as men, we are, creatures of competition and high testosterone. We like to accomplish, we like to win. And when we set a goal for ourselves, so then we like to hit those goals. We like to be successful in everything, whether it's in work, in business, in sports, in learning. So setting a goal like that certainly helps motivate the men to do this. So once you establish that you want to set a goal, so it could take a year, it could take 18 years, it could take however long you want, but hopefully I'll guide you with some words of inspiration that have guided me along the way, whether it's some piece of Gemara or some stories, experiences I've had over the course of time that built me up and gave me that strength and sense of accomplishment. So the first question is, of course, why would we have to finish Shas? Not all of us are going to be Rabbanim and Poskim. So what's the need for accomplishing all Shas? Why not just go at our own pace and do whatever Gemaras we're able to do, learn V'iyin? So firstly, when I was at this Siyama Shas the other night, so Rav Weinberger spoke, and he mentioned the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that paskind, pi halacha, that everything a person learns in this world, even though he might forget it, when he goes to Olam Haba, it all comes back. So the more you see, even though you may not remember it might not register in this world, it's lenetach, it's there forever, eternally, in Olam Haba. So that's why it's a good idea to see everything. Now we also have to understand, we'll go through it also, how do you understand everything? Not everything is so understandable at such a quick, fast pace. But the goal is to try to see as much as you possibly can in this world. And to hopefully complete Shas once, if not twice. So it really begins at the Gemara and the end of Maseches Horios. Maseches Horios, it also appears at the end of Maseches Brachos. The whole question of Sinai Oker Harim. The question of Bekiyas versus Bein. It's a very basic question. And let's just read this together inside source number one. The Gemara in Horios, Daf Yudal, the very last Amud of Horios, the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Pligi bar Rabban Shimon Megamliel Rabbanan. They had a machlokes. Chad Amar Sinai Adif. One held that Sinai is better. I'll explain what Sinai means in just a moment. And Chad, the other opinion is Amar Oker Harim Adif. One who uproots mountains is even better. So what does that mean, Sinai Oker Harim? If you just look down at Rashi for a moment, number two, we'll get back to the Gemara. Afterwards, Rashi says, Sinai Adif is that Misha Shana Mishnah Vibraisa Sidurin Lo Kinisinasan Mehar Sinai. A person who studies and remembers all the Mishnayos and Braisos, and I'll add in Gemaras, as if it was given from Har Sinai. That clarity of all of Shishay Sidme Mishnah, that clarity of all Gemara as if it was given from Har Sinai, that's what Sinai means. A whole breadth of all of Kol HaTorah Kula, but without the depth. It's the breadth without the depth. As opposed to Oker Harim, Rashi explained, is Decharif Umeful Pal B'Torah, one who's very sharp in learning, his analysis, his ability to understand things. Even though the Gemaras are not so clear, the Mishnahs are not so clear to him, but he's very sharp, he's very quick. And we'll see in a moment, there are some Amorim who had such debates about the way they talked in learning. Some were just quoting texts from all over the place, all over Shas, and others were just very sharp in their response of pilpul. So some people in this world have a certain nature where they're just very sharp in the Iyin and the Chakiras and the Nafkaminas, and others just have a very wide range of all of Shas, all of Torah. So that's what Sinai versus Oker Harim. Sinai is going through a lot of Bekiyas, and Iyin and Oker Harim is going through Iyin, going through the depth and the questions and the answers and analyzing and categorizing and organizing. So which one's a better way to learn? So the Gemara says, back to the top number one, Rav Yosef was Sinai. Rav Yosef, just important to note for those when you learn the Gemara, almost always you see Rav Yosef just quoting Brises. He just always quotes Brises, because he knew everything on the tips of his fingers. He was Sinai. So that's Rav Yosef. And Rabbah was Ol Kehar, and Rabbah is always throwing out Svaras all the time, the Pilpul and Harifus. So Rav Yosef, who was a Sinai, who was a Baki in all Shas, Rabbah, who was an Oker Harim, who had tremendous ability to analyze. So which one is better? Who should be the Nasi? That was in essence the question. So the had a machlokas, and Shalhu L'Taman. Sometimes the Gemara says Shalhu L'Tam, that they sent over there. They were having this conversation in Bavel. And they always, many times when they didn't have an answer, they would send off to Marava, to the west, over there to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, we know the Gemara says, Avira, Dari Yisrael Machim, had a much greater Siyata Deshmai and had a paskening Shilas. So they sent a message, they sent a letter to Eretz Yisrael, who is better, one who is Bisinai or one who is Oker Harim? So the response was, Shalachu Lahu, the response from Eretz Yisrael, from the Avira da Ari Yisrael Machim, is sent back, Sinai is Adif. That Sinai is much greater than Oker Harim. And they explain why. Because Damar Mar Hakol Tzrichin Lemarichatia. Everyone needs a master of chita, master of wheat. The wheat, the one who has amassed this amount of information. You need the Sinai, you need him. You have a guy who's very, very smart, that's great. A guy who might be a PhD in whatever it is. But if he doesn't know any Torah, what good is going to be for you? So you need a guy like Sinai, like Rav Yosef, who knew all Shas. His ability to analyze may not be as sharp, but if you don't have the starting point, you don't have the basics of all Shas, so how could you be a Nasi? But still, nonetheless, even though they paskin Rav Yosef, Sinai should have been the Nasi. Rav Yosef, because of his humility, refused to be the Nasi at that time. And Rabbah was the became the Nasi for 22 years. And afterwards, Rav Yosef, after Rabbah died, Rav Yosef became the Nasi. But we see very clear that Sinai, what we'll say, learning Bekiyas, is much greater than Ian. So this is very halach l'maisa, because Tosa says that now, since we paskin Sinai versus Oker Harim, there's a machlokas, how do we paskin versus Rav Sheshes versus Rav Chista? Machlokas, Rav Sheshes versus Rav Chista, Tosis talks about, we paskin like Rav Sheshes over Rav Chista. Why? Because there's the Gemara that he quotes, this is Tosis number 3, that one time when Rav Chista, Rav Sheshes, whenever they meet and sit down and learn, so Rav Sheshes would get very, very scared because Rav Chista was very, very sharp. And Rav Chista was scared of Rav Sheshes, but Rav Sheshes, the name, Shishay Siddha Mishnah, Rav Sheshes had every single Brisa Mishnah Gemara on the tips of his fingers. So Rav Chista might say a very sharp Svara, Rav Sheshes says, but it's very nice, but there's a first Mishnah that goes against what you're saying. So Rav Chista was scared of Rav Sheshes' Bekiyas, Rav Sheshes was scared of Rav Chista's Harifas. So that was the conversation. So that was the, always, you get very scared when they used to meet and talk and learn. So Tosa says, this is halacha l'maisa. Since the Gemara paskins that Sinai is greater, so we paskin like Rav Sheshes over Rav Chista, since Rav Sheshes is Sinai. And there is another nafkamin as well. Let's say you're giving out aliyas. So we like to give the one who is a more chashiv Rav over the one who's not as chashiv. So how do you define who's greater, who's not? So Prima Gadim writes that a person who's a Baal Hora is going to be categorized with one who's Sinai. We know many times they said about the Bishka Rav and Rav Chaim, who were very, very sharp, they didn't always have the confidence or willingness to paskin shilas because they could always see a different angle. So they're such Oker Harim, they didn't know how to make a decision. Not it was not a bad thing, but they saw every possible angle you could look at things. So they weren't necessarily a Baal Hora. So you have a guy who's a Baal Hora, which Prima Gadim says is a Sinai. He knows all Shulchan Aruch Baal Peh, knows every Mishnah Berurah, all the Tshuvas. So that person's a Baal Hora, he's a Sinai, and you have a guy who's really sharp, a Rosh Hashiva. Rosh Hashiva who could give an awesome shiur with all the alumnus. So who should get the Aliyah first? So Prima Gadim says, we paskin the Gemara in Hor Yos, that Sinai is Adif, so the one who's the Posek should get the Aliyah before the one who's the Rosh Hashiva, let's call them. So same thing for us. If we're deciding how to split up our time, should we be learning Sinai or Oker Harim? Should we be learning Bekiyas or learning Be'ian? So the answer would be Bekiyas. That would seemingly be the answer to learn Bekiyas. So let's go further. So right now we're passing, you should learn Bekiyas. That's how a person should use their time. Now a balance would be really, really great. but how a person uses their time, Bikia should really be on their radar, because as we're seeing in a moment, you really can't learn Ian well without really knowing the Bikia as well. So let's look now at the Gemara number 5. This is Avodah Zarah, Daf Yotes Amud Aleph. And this Gemara has provided me a tremendous amount of chizik along the way of the years I've been doing this. And I kept this in mind all the time whenever I wanted to almost give up because the Gemaras were so hard, whether it was Yevamos or Ervin or Nida or Agatas talking about medicine or just the Tum of Atara and Kachim. So this Gemara here was very, very powerful for my own chizik. So the Gemara says, firstly, Amar Rava, Li'olam Yilmad Adam Torah V'charkach Yege. And Moshe, just one over there if you want. Yeah. First, a person should learn Torah, and then afterwards, Yege, as it says, Torah Hashem V'hadar B'Torasa Yege. Torah means, as Rashi points out, first learn the Girsa, learn Talmud, know it well, just have the text on your fingertips, understand Pshat. And only afterwards can you yega, can you be involved in the Ian, in the Asik Batorah. Because it's very nice, you might be a very smart guy, you may have done well in school in whatever subject, and you could think of all these questions and answers. But if you have no idea what the Gemara is telling you elsewhere, then you can't really understand the full Ian. If you want to paskin a Shaila because you think something makes sense, well, it's possible for Moshe is a tshuva that you don't even know about. So before you can even start learning Ian and passing Shilas, getting to the depth really, you first have to be able to know Kol HaTorah Kula, or at least a lot of it, to know how to look things up before you start making mistakes. So first you have to learn Bekiyas, which we're calling Sinai, and then afterwards you Yehege, and then afterwards you can learn Be'in. But this is the one, this is the line of Rava, the very next line which really has helped me. Amar Rava, Li'olam Ligris Inish. Ligris is Lashon of Girsa, the text. A person should go through the text of everything. The Afa gav de mishkach, even though he's going to forget. So that gave me chizik, I forgot a lot of what I learned. The Afa gav de lo yod de maikamer, even though you don't know what is being said. I also don't understand everything I read. You can't understand everything you read. So even though you're not going to remember everything and you're not going to understand everything, you should still liolam ligros, get yourself familiar with it, familiar with the concepts. You think I know Tum of Atara? You think I know Kachim well? I don't. I'm familiar with the topics, the basics, because when you see them repeating themselves over and over again, you get more familiar. I'd love to learn those topics be'in, but until I learn be'in, I won't know it really well. But I'm at least ligros, I'm at least somewhat familiar with these topics that I don't get scared when I see the end of the first parak of Psachim, where it talks about all these Tum of Atara, Rishon, Sheni, Vishlishi. I don't fully grasp it, but at least I'm comfortable at least heading into it a little bit because I'm exposed to it. So it's really just getting exposure to everything so nothing becomes foreign or dark or scary because li'olam ligros inish. That's Rava's, for me, tremendous chizik for learning something even though you don't fully appreciate it. And which I'll discuss right now using art scroll. What about learning art scroll for this, if this is a goal that you really want to accomplish? What about using art scroll? So I was once in... I used to spend a lot of time in the YU library. Weinberger also did. I don't know if he still does that anymore, but when he was in YU Learning, he spent a lot of time in the library. He learned a lot more than I did in the library. There are a lot of interesting svarim in the library. There's everything you want there. So, and the YU library is a very interesting modern structure where there are different floors. There's a 5, there's a 5A, there's a 2, there's a 2A. There are half floors. It's very strange. A lot of hideouts you could go to do different things and learn different places between the different bookshelves. And so one time I was on, I can't remember if it's 2A or 3A. I was on one of these floors. I got up with the elevator. And you look, and everything's very open. So I got out of the elevator. I looked down. There's a little, you could look down like down a few, the floors. There's no ceilings by all the floors because they're half floors, half walls. So I saw one of my rebbeim who was learning at a table, like his back turned, like hoping no one would see him. And he had a Sansino open. Couldn't have an art school, right? So Sansino is hard to read, hard to understand. So he wouldn't be caught dead with a Sansino, let alone an art scroll. But the point is, even a tremendous Talmid Chachamim, like the one who I saw, you can't understand every word and daf of Gemara without some help of a Sansino or now an art school. It's impossible. You just can't. We didn't grow up in Bavel where we know Aramaic. It's hard. So you can look at every word in the Jash show. It'll take you 15 hours to do one page of Gemara. What are you gaining by looking up every word? Amelis. That's Amelis. Amelis is not looking up word. Amelis is trying to understand something. So I'm not talking about guys who are in yeshiva, fair to self. Those guys shouldn't be using art school. They have to have Amelis. There are guys afterwards where you are comfortable with your learning, and even if you're not comfortable with your learning, still, if you're trying to accomplish and get through Shas, so using art school, to my understanding, I don't think is a problem. Now, if a person's capable of having good reading skills, so then I would discourage him using art school for the main part of the Gemaras, but if he's getting to harder parts. I use art school all the time. To go through a chalik, we're doing daf yomi, a chalik, it's impossible. How in the world, do I know anything about Nevi'im? I know nothing about Nevi'im. So I use either Mesifta or the art school for the perek chalik. And then what about the sugyas in Gittin, all the medicine topics? I don't know what the different herbs are that's referring to it. Just you can't know what these words are without using art scroll. So to me, if you want to accomplish this, you have to be able to be willing to use art scroll on certain sugyas as well. There's a story of Chaim Kanievsky that when he was writing a sefer on the grasshoppers, so there's one grasshopper which he didn't know exactly how the wings were and the legs were. So he had asked his daughter to go to the store and buy a picture book on grasshoppers. So she went to the store and bought a picture book, and he went through and leafed through the pages and didn't have the grasshopper that he wanted. The rest of the mice, you know that the grasshopper came onto his desk or his wall, wherever it came, some nace happened, fine. But the point was that Rav Chaim Kanievsky couldn't understand what a grasshopper is by looking in the Gemara or the Mishnah. It's not there. You have to know the Metziah sometimes. So we don't know what every single word or herb or whatever definition is. We need the art skull. The art skull really brings it to life sometimes. Or you're learning chulin. So you think you're going to get through Elu Trefos, the third parak, 40 blot, and understand the different parts of the body without opening up a cow? You can't. It's impossible. So you have to get a picture book or get an art skull, which goes through, rips open the cow for you and tells you where the kidneys are and the stomachs are. Otherwise, you can't understand it. It's impossible otherwise. So you need to use it sometimes. The Gemara in the first parak of Sanhedrin talks about how Rav spent 18 months on a farm to understand the different mumim of a bechor. Right? The Gemara talks about getting smicha. So the smicha of Yorah Yorah, to be a baki in Yoredeya. And then there's Yadin Yadin to being a baki in Choshen Mishpat. And then there's Yatir Yatir, the Gemara says, to be a baki in being Matir Bechoros, Matir Mumim Bechoros. So you have to know what a mum is. So if you're going to learn Maseches Bechoros, it's impossible to learn Maseches Bechoros. It talks about if the ear is ripped, if the tongue is ripped, if the eye has all these different mumim which you can't understand. So for us, you have to open an article to read it. But let's say you want to really paskin that way. So Rav spent 18 months on a farm to understand how to be Matir Bechoros. So otherwise you just can't understand it. But so that's our art school for us, unless you really want to go out to a farm and learn Bechoros, that's even better to do. But without that, without using art school, to me it's impossible to really go through Shas and understand as best as you could. So let's read further now. So it's important to know that the Meiri writes that even though a person might go through Shas and having that sense of inspiration in his mind, that liolam ligros inish, a person should always learn even though he doesn't remember and even though he doesn't understand something, it doesn't make you a Sinai. You're not a Sinai person just because you learned Shas. Just because you made a Siman Shas doesn't make you Sinai. I'm not Sinai. I'm very far from Sinai just because I made a Siman Shas. What makes a person Sinai, says the Meiri? He says, number 7, Ava mi she'ein biyado ela sugyos ha-talmid sedu rafif. A person who has a sugyos that are very clear in his mouth, but if the guy doesn't have it clear in his head, in his mouth, he doesn't have a derech psak, ubechina b'dimyonos, he can't compare sugyas to sugyas, ubavanas davar mitoch davar, he can't extrapolate from different sugyas and apply it elsewhere. Eino bichlal sinai velo bichlal bal hora, he does not categorize himself as a sinai. Meaning you should start that way, try to get through shas, but don't let it get to your head. You're nothing special. This is how you're supposed to be learning. You're not a Sinai, you're not a Baal Hara until you've gotten to that level of the ability to compare sugyas to sugyas and have a certain Havana as well. But we see still that a person should continue to have that driving force of Sinai, of being a Baki in all of Shas as best as he possibly can. So now, when should a person learn this? So what's helpful about learning Bekiyas is it something you're able to learn when you're traveling. So that's the Gemara, famous Gemara in Tainus Daf Yudam Beis. The Gemara talks about Al Tigzu B'Derech, that Yosef HaTzadik told his brothers when they were going back from Mitzrayim to Yaakov Avinu, Al Titasku B'Divrei Halacha, don't learn Halacha on the way. Shema Tirguzu Aleichem B'Derech. Perhaps you might get distracted, you might get lost along the way. So Aini, is this really true? A person shouldn't learn while he's traveling? V'hama Rabbi Eli Bar Brachya, Shnei Tamidei Chachamim Shemahalchin B'Derech. Two Tamidei Chachamim are walking. They're traveling together, vein beinayim divrei Torah, and there's no Torah within them. Ruuyin lisarif, they're worthy of being burnt. Shenemar vayihi hema holchin, they're walking. Vidaber, and they're speaking. Vinei rechav eish v'susei eish vayifrudu bein shneim, the fire went between them. But they didn't get burnt, it only went between them. So the Gemara's medayik, taima dikav dibur, only because there was speech, because they were talking and learning, were they not burnt by this fire? Halakadibur, if there wasn't any Divrei Torah, Ru'uyin Lisarv, they would have been burnt. So we see that you have to learn while you're traveling. So how come Rav Yosef warned his brothers not to learn while traveling? And so the Gemara tells us famously, Lokasha Halamigris Halaine. Where Rav Yosef, rather, what Yosef HaTzadik was telling his brothers, don't learn Bi'in while you're traveling. Rather, you should be learning Migras, which we said Migras is Girsa, text, which is Bekiyas, going through Bekiyas. That won't distract you. So when traveling, whether it's on the train, whether it's one of the things I do, again, I'm not trying to publicize what I'm doing, but I'm trying to hopefully give advice and suggestions. My kids know when I take them on carpool, so I bring a Gemara with me. And when we get at a red light, so I'll learn the Gemara, they'll tell me when it's a green light. So it's a game. I'm learning Gemara. They say, oh, green. So I press on the gas, so the guy behind me doesn't start honking at me. So how did I learn this? Because I'm used to seeing people texting at the red light, and they will honk them. So if they're texting, I may as well be learning. And what really inspired me, this when I took upon myself to go through Shas, I'll tell you a number of things that happened to me during the week when I made that decision. I was first introduced to, someone gave me a book, 1 Minute Masmid. Rev Rieti wrote a book, 1 Minute Masmid. It's a book, a nice storyline about a person who goes to work and takes advantage of every free moment he has to learn Mesis Yesharim or Derech Hashem, whatever he has, his Seder, but he takes a 2 minute break at, I don't know, 9:58 and learns 2 minutes of a Seder. And over 2 years, he's accomplished so much, and he has another break at 10:53 for 2 minutes, and you get a minute here and a minute there. So when this person gave me this book, I couldn't put it down. I read it. It was Matzah Shabbos. I read it until I finished it the whole night. And then that week, I saw a person who was walking to shul, learning along the way. And then the next day, I saw another guy walking, learning while he's walking to shul, a different guy. I said, wait a second. These are guys who are getting every single minute. There's no reason why I can't do this also. So I started to think, how could I catch every free moment to then chop a daf here. So I started to think, so I'm driving, so there's a red light. Everyone texts at the red light. I may as well learn at the red light. There's a story, I think Arts Girl brings this story down in the children's Arts Girl stories about tzaddikim. So they once asked Chassam Sofer what made him Chassam Sofer, how did he become such a big tzaddik? So he said, it just takes a few minutes. It takes a few minutes. What does that mean? It takes a few minutes. So you already know the punchline. The punchline is, he says, what do you do when you're waiting in line at the bakery? What are you doing? He says, I'm waiting for my turn till I get to get my number called. He says, what I do when I'm waiting in line, says Chassam Sofer, I have a sefer with me and I'm reading a sefer. So that's 5 minutes that I just accomplished, 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there and 5 minutes there, and then all that as amassed to an amount of daf of Gemara, and then you accomplish so much. So the Gemara tells us you can't learn Ian, you can't open up a Rajba while you're waiting at a red light. You're not going to get anywhere with that. You can't open up a Chaim when you're waiting at a red light. But what you can do at the red light, or if you're waiting online, open up a Gemara and then read a few lines here and there. Have a little sticky note and then go a few lines and then get to the next line and so on and so forth. Every time there's a free moment. You're sitting at a wedding. You know how many daf of Gemara I get done at a chuppah? The days I know I'm going to a wedding, so then I will learn less of my daf in the morning. I'll do other things because I'm going to get 5 blah done at a chuppah. It's crazy how much you get there. And let's say I'm going to be an 8 to 9. They tell me I need to be the first thing. So then I do 8 blah then. So I said, okay, I'll get to be 8 to 9. They sign the first thing. And then I go off to the chuppah room and waiting before they even get started. I got an hour and a half to learn there. You could get so much accomplished in all this waste of time. I know people get nervous. They think I'm too frum. I'm carrying on a safer here. I don't want to be that guy. Get over it. You're that guy, right? If you want to accomplish this, the only way to accomplish it is just walking around with a safer at every free moment that you have. So one of the things that one of the things that
they say in Rav Moshe Feinstein that he had an extra simcha by one of the Siyumi Hashas, Rav Moshe. And what? Why? Because he would have assigned a certain seder a certain zman every time, but an extra hana because that finishing of Shas he did by the extra zman that
right.
people that spare time.
Right. The one of the things that people have to keep in mind though is it's like anything else, any sport or a profession, it takes building up of stamina. You're not going to come into a business and be the partner right away. You're not going to become be a rookie and be MVP right away. You're not going to be the leader of the team the first year you play. It happens once in a while, obviously, but still it takes building up strength and stamina. And when you get more familiar, certain Gemaras go quicker, and you see many Gemaras repeat themselves over and over again. There's some Gemaras that could go really, really fast. Maseches Nedarim is one, for example. They're very short daf of a Gemara, just because the round is huge. Even though there's 85 or something daf of the Gemara there, you could do sometimes you have to be able to be very strategic in how to use which Masechtas. So, let's say if I'm doing Erevin right now. So Erevin's very, very hard. And it's hard for me to do eight blot a day in Erevin because they're just very challenging Gemaras. So I will balance that out with learning Masechtas and Nedarim, which you could do like 12 blot a day much quicker because it's just short daf of Gemara. And so if I do two blot of Erevin and six blot of Nedarim, that just the timing balances out. And you have, because if I'm doing eight blot of Erevin every single day, that could take me, let's say, 6 hours. And Nedarim could take me 2 hours. I'm just throwing out numbers. So you balance it out. You have to be strategic how to do which Gemaras to make it everything balanced. Or let's say Maseches Brachos, the last parak. There's so many words on the page. So just to read every single word could take days to go through, weeks to go through. So when I do the end of Maseches Brachos, that last parak, I'll do one daf of Agata with another Masechta that's much quicker, let's say Tainus or Megillah, because I just don't have the time to spend so much time on the whole page. You have to also be very strategic in how to split up the Gemaras. So if you're going to a wedding, so learning Erevin at a wedding is not very easy. It just, even though you're at the wedding, it still gets distracting. People are getting called up for brachas, there's music. You need to learn a Masechta that's easier, more conducive for some distraction that go quickly. You know, whenever you're, any place, whether it's the wedding or you're stopping off at a red light to learn there, waiting in line, just be strategic in picking out a masechta that's a little bit easier. And as you build up stamina, things come off much simpler that way. Now, another advice is to just make yontim more meaningful is to try to pick masechtas that are going to be near the Yomim Tovim. So, for example, this past month, so I was able to learn. I learned Rosh Hashanah right before Rosh Hashanah. Then Aseres Me'etshuva, I did all of Yuma, and then between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, I did Sukkah, and then I did Moed Katan and Chagiga during Sukkot because it made the Yontem more meaningful for me. So again, that's the pace that I go at. So at a slower pace, so then you'd want to do. So let's say you're doing Megillah. So I don't know. Let's say you do a Daf Yomi. So you do 30 days of Megillah. You start Tu Bishvat to finish it by Megillah Purim. You're doing Pesachim, so you're not going to do 120 blot before Pesach, but let's say you're doing 2 blot a day. Let's say that's what stamina you're up to. So then you try to do 2 months before Pesach, try to get Pesach in, or maybe learn on Pesach Gemara Pesachim. But just try to make it more meaningful for you to line up with the very seasonal to the Yomim Tovim around the year. That's why we're doing the second parak of Shabbos as a advertisement. Those who want to join, we're starting by Bamba Likin next week, the second parak of Shabbos, which is the Inyanim of Chanukah to lead up to the Yontif of Chanukah. So again, just you don't have to necessarily go in order. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Be strategic, make it interesting to you to keep you going at this goal. Now, one of the questions I get is, yeah?
I find that you said, you'll do Erevin and Nedarim, and you'll do a few minutes here at this light, and do you find like sometimes there's a blot long Shakva Vataria or an Amud long Shakva Vataria? How can you pick up, drop off? You don't feel like you have to almost like go back a few lines just to hop where you were. It's not, like a line of Gemara is not always standing alone.
No, for sure. It depends what you're learning.
And then you like, oh, was that in Erevin or was that in Nedarim?
Right.
Like,
right. No, so that's a good question. So in terms of the Shakva Vataria, so I'll give you an etzah as to what I do in just a moment, how to break up the daf, how to make it as opposed to one long sugya for 3 blot. Let's say in the third parak of Shabbos talks about bishul, that goes on for 3 blot there. So once you get stuck in the middle, you have to go back to the beginning to start all over again. I'll give you an aid to what I find for myself useful, how to break up even within a long three-daf sugya. And this way you don't have to go all the way back to the beginning of it. Again, you understand the best that you can. You're doing bakiyas. You're not trying to get the ian of it. But in terms of confusing between different gemaras, it can be confusing sometimes. Depends how your memory works. The pages of Nedarim are very different the way they appear. If you have a visual memory, so then Nedarim look very different than that of Erevin. You're not going to get confused in that way. Nedarim daf are like that, Erevin's like that. But it could get confusing, that's fine.
What about the Gemara that says that you should divide your learning in three parts?
Yeah, so that the Rebbe Rabbeinu Tam answers that question, that the Bavli includes all parts, Mishnah and Gemara and Tanakh, and every, so by learning Talmud Bavli, we've all accomplished that.
Yeah, but again, excuse me for saying this, but I disagree with the fact that yeshivas concentrate strictly on Gemara and don't teach enough Torah Shev Ksav.
That's another topic. It's a different topic. We can talk about Torah Shev Ksav a different time. It's an interesting topic to talk about. Not for now, though, but that is a different point. Now, I mentioned to that... Yeah.
How to break up the big sukkah.
Oh, fine. So I mentioned that now. There's a Gemara I'm going to get to, but I'll mention it since you asked now. I'll mention it now as well. Let's jump to the number 13. This is the topic of how do you remember everything, if you can. How do you deal with memory? So, actually, I want to go back to 9. We'll get to that point. When you get to 13, remind me, please, to mention my point about how to break up a sugya. But the big question I get is, what about a chazara? How do you remember everything? I don't remember everything. And I really don't do chazara. My chazara is built in. When you learn it again, the second time, that's another chazara. So you could do chazara on one blot 10 times. You could do chazara on shas 10 times. So that to me is chazara. As long as you're constantly learning, so and then you're going to get back to it, going through the cycle, that to me is chazara. And chazara is very, very important. As those who are learning daf yomi will see tomorrow's daf, the Gemara stresses very much how important chazara is. And one who learns without chazara, I forget what the Gemara exactly calls it, but it's not very, very pleasant. So you have to do chazara, but again, as long as you have the cycle, to me that's going through the cycle of chazara. So how do you deal with remembering everything? You can't remember everything. So the Gemara Megillah famously tells us, number 9, this is the Gemara Daf Vavam and Beis Megillah, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Imma Yom El Chaadim, a person tells you, Yagati L'matasi, I put a lot of effort in, but I didn't find, whatever that means, I wasn't successful. Al Tamin, don't believe such a person, it can't be true. Yagati L'matasi, I didn't put any effort in, but I was able to get a Metziah, I was able to find the conclusion, I was successful in what I was doing, my learning. Al Tamin, don't believe such a person, but if he says, Yagati L'matasi, I put effort in, I put yagiyah in, and also I found I was successful in my learning. So Tamei, that person you should believe. Hani mile b'divrei Torah. That's only true with respect to divrei Torah. But aval b'masa b'matam, when it comes to business, siyata hu min shmaya. That's all, siyata d'shmaya. Whole other discussion about how business works, not our topic, of course. But divrei Torah, the Gemara says, lo amrin ela l'chudude. Aval okmi girsa siyata min shmayahi. What the Gemara is referring to, yagiyah, and Mitzia, that's referring to being sharp, what we'll call Oker Harim, what we'll call Bi'in. Learn Bi'in. If a person puts Yigi in, he's going to have a very sharp mind. That's a promise the Torah tells you. But to remember the Girsa, that's Siyata Dishmaya. So that means we should all give up. Why try? Because we don't have a memory like Rav Avadi Yosef. So why are we trying to learn Shas? Because we learn and we forget. We learn and forget. It's all Siyata Dishmaya. What's the point in even trying? So the answer is, even though the Megillah, Masechet Megillah tells us it's Siyata Dishmaya, there are many Eitzos that the Gemara does tell us how to strengthen one's memory. So how is that? How do you strengthen memory? So the answer is, firstly, people are gifted with certain memories, and those like us who don't have gifted memories, we should use and employ the following suggestions the Gemara itself gives us to help us remember. So the Gemara, the very end of Masechet Megillah, Daf Lamed Beis, this is the last Amud of the Masechta. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yishafti, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kala Kore, Belo Ni'ima, Vishona Belo Zimra, one who learns or reads Psukim without Ni'ima, without any sweetness, without any song. Alava Kasav Omer, Vagama Anina Sati Lahem, Chukim Lotovim, I'm going to give you Chukim Lotovim, bad Chukim. What that means is if you don't sing when you're learning, so then you're not going to be successful. You won't remember what you're learning if you don't sing. If you don't sing it. So that could mean if you're not happy. Or it could also mean literally singing. Look what the Tosas writes there. Tosas writes in number 12, Shehayu Ragilin Lishnos HaMishnayos Bizimr. They would actually have songs to the Mishnayos. The Fishayu Shoninos on Alpeh. They memorize the Mishnayos. How do you memorize? So those of you who have daughters know that they memorize everything because they sing songs about the presidents and the capitals of the states of the United States of America. So the boys don't sing that, so the boys don't remember any of these things. If the boys would sing, they'd remember also. So it's all dependent on singing. And we know what the Svarim write about the Chachma of music. The Gra, the Pas Shulchan, who's a Talmud of the Gra, talks about all the Chachmas that the Gra learned. He learned all the Chachmas of the world except for two of them. So the two that he did not learn, he did not learn medicine. His father told him he can't learn medicine because he'd be the best doctor in the world and he wouldn't be able to become the Gra. Everyone would go to him. So he says he can't learn medicine, so he didn't learn medicine. And he also didn't learn botany. He didn't learn, he's a mafunak. He wouldn't deal with ground and dirt. He'd want to get dirty. So those are the two chachmas he didn't learn. But all the other chachmas of the world, math, science, physics, chemistry, everything he learned. What was the greatest chachma of them all, says the Gra? The chachma of music. Music is the most powerful chachma, says the Gra. The Nefesh HaChaim, Shari Kedusha writes, the reason why music is so powerful is because when the neshama hears music, so it feels it's reminded what it's like up in Shemayim with all the malachim singing. So it's brought back to a very, very, very high place. So that's where Torah comes from, up in Shemayim. So when a person sings, when a person learns to a song, that helps a person remember. Remember has to do with Bina, Chachma, those are holding. So that's why singing is so powerful. So singing is one way to help remember. Singing, whatever, it doesn't mean a song, you're not singing Tov L'Hodos, you're singing whatever tune, whatever niggun of learning that really gets to your mind. I mentioned this many times in the past, but Weinberg and I have very different ways of learning. I learn to music. I don't sing myself. I have music in the background while I learn many times. And Rav Weinberger sticks earplugs, and someone told me afterwards he has, on top of that, headphones, which blocks out any sound. He gets very easily distracted by any sound. I grew up studying in front of Yankee games. So I lost last night, I know. So I grew up studying in front of Yankee games all the time, and Giants or Rangers games. So I just was used to distraction of studying. I just now took my learning to my studies, and instead of Yankee games, I have music on the background. And Rav Weinberger, he told me he grew up in a house where anything above a whisper was considered too loud. His house was completely quiet. It was a library. So anything will just really distract him. So if there's a shir going on and someone's moving or doing something, he gets easily distracted. So he has the headphones, the earplugs, and that's how he learns. But he says also the reason why he learns that way, in addition to knocking out any distractions, is if you ever try, you could do it now if you'd like, stick your fingers in your ears and talk softly. That becomes very loud. Your whisper in your own mind actually becomes very loud. You hear yourself much clearer. Which gets to another Gemara, that you're supposed to not only learn singing, but you're also supposed to be learning out loud. Saying the words out loud helps you remember. There's a Gemara at the end of Erevin, 15:60. I'm not going to read this inside, but we know Bruria was a very, very strong individual. She was a very strong woman. We know the fight she had with her husband, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir wanted to kill the people in the community who were bothering him. She said, no, you should really daven for them to get rid of the chatoim, not rid of the chotim, to get rid of the sins, not the violators. So Bruria one time, she was walking by and a guy was learning quietly and she kicked him. She kicked the guy for learning quietly. She said, what are you doing? Don't you know the halacha is that if you want the Torah to be absorbed in your body, you need to say it out loud. The whole body has to be feeling it and saying the words. If you're just reading the words like that, nothing's going to stick. So that was the lesson Bruria had taught this individual. And the Gemara goes on in the inner number 16, those who want to learn inside, how powerful it is and important it is to learn reciting the words out loud. Now, it's not always easy to do that. When I'm sitting at the red light, I'm not reading out loud. That's probably why I don't remember everything. But it's not always so easy to do that. If you're hopping a line here or there between Ben Gavra and Gavra during Kriyas HaTorah, I'm not going to be learning out loud to distract anyone. So you're not going to always get this in. But if a person really does want to strengthen his memory, one of the key things is singing and saying it out loud. Let's get to number 13 now. Number 13. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda, Ein Torah Niknes, Ela B'Simanim. The only way the Torah is going to be acquired is through Simanim, as it says in the Pasuk, Shenemar, Sima B'Fiyim, Al Tikre Sima Ela Simana. Using Simanim, using little symbols, is the way to help Kone Torah. So what's a symbol? So Rashi there points out, You know, in the Gemara has a simen, as the next few sugyas are, whatever Rashi tables it uses, those are the next, a little mnemonics to be used. That's an eitza. So an eitza that I found for myself helpful is what I have in my Gemaras. Those who could see it, I've got underlines in my Gemaras. It's not gonna, you can't, it's too small for you guys to see. But what I do is, I box out my Mishnayos. Everyone has their own way of doing it. So the Mishnah kind of jumps out at you when you look at the page. And then at each question, at each tashma, not every line, if there's a line in every person who says something, you'd have all lines. So I have on each page like 5-6 lines, depending how big the Gemara is. So now I look at a page, let's say Daf Tzadi in Ervin, I've got 4 broken up topics on that Gemara. Now, even though it could be a tashma repeating itself in really one topic, a one long sugya, but I could still look at, okay, that was a tashma, that was end and conclusion of that whole tashma, or that raya, or that question and answer, and this way, visually, you know, it's kind of like paragraphs. There are no paragraphs in the Gemara, but when things are broken up in paragraphs, it's just visually able to, it's easier to kind of swallow. Or in the different textbooks, so the way I had it in elementary school, the books were columns, as opposed to wide paragraphs. So when you're looking at a text, it's much harder to have to read through a wide page. That's the paragraphs are going from side to side to each margin, just overwhelming. If you read, let's say, a sefer like Rav Asher Weiss, so he writes very nicely, but when you look inside a Minchas Asher column, it just makes it much easier to look at it and doesn't get so scary. So when I look at a daf, which I've gone through, so I have a few lines, it's only 5 pieces here, as opposed to 500 words to read. So that makes it easier. And now getting to Yaakov's point, so when I'm in the middle of a long sugya, so if I finish a tashma, I'll move the tag there, and now I got past that tashma. Even though it's a 3-blot long, I know I've got past that step. And that's how I kind of break it up in my own mind. Sometimes to get the flow, you do need to go back anyways to fully appreciate it. But if you're having just one 3-blot sugya in your mind, then you always have to go back. But if you break it up with at least these underlines or whatever other type of technique you're using, that to me breaks it up. Another eitza that I don't think you really have to be very, very disciplined to accomplish this is each page of Gemara to write down the 3, 4, 5 basic points on the side of the page. So this way, when you look at a page of Gemara, these are the basic topics that come up here. But again, you really have to be disciplined in doing that after learning it to chazer it and write down the points. I don't do that, but it's a very nice suggestion. I've heard people who do that. I'll finish off with one last story, then if anyone has questions, I'll open up to any questions. And that's with, there's an interesting story of the Chavetz Chaim about the Koach of Memory. And the Chavetz Chaim, this is page Reish Dalid in his Chidushim al Torah. He's talking about the Mishnah in Avos that describes in the second parak the different midos of various Talmid Chachamim and Tzadikim. And it describes how Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was a bor sod she'eino ma'abed tipa. He was a pit that was sealed off, and not a drop of water would ever leak out. That's how solid he was. And he asks the question, it doesn't make any sense, how could that be a midah you're describing? That's not anything someone could ever replicate. He was given a memory that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could grant someone, like Rav Avadi Yosef. And how is that fair to start comparing his midah? That's something that Avos is supposed to teach us what we could accomplish. I can accomplish what he did. To be a Bor Sid that doesn't lose a drop of water, that's impossible. So how do you deal with that? Where the memories all siyata d'shamayim, like the Gemara tells in Megillah. So Chavetz Chaim said, I understand now what's pshat. He once met an old man, and this old man was telling him about the one time when he was younger, when he was a very little kid. He described with great detail this whole image of when the king came to his town. And then there's these 2 white horses adorned with this beautiful royal clothing on top of the horses. And there are these special crowns that the horses were wearing. And then the wagon and what the king was wearing. Every detail was exactly as if it happened yesterday. And then he says sometimes, yeah, that same old man, if you ask him if he saw a son in the street yesterday, he would say, well, I don't know. And his son was right in front of him. And how could he not notice his son? So what he said was, Chavetz Chaim explained is, that Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, who placed his heart, his whole lev, in his love for learning, that old man, who when he was a young boy, it was such an amazing event that the king came to his village. He was so emotionally attached to it, so it came to life. He put his heart to everything that he saw, every detail of the horse, and the color of the horse, and the crown, and the wagon. But when his son went by, he was in the shuk. It wasn't something that meant anything to him. He sees his son all the time. It's oftentimes your wife will lose her keys. She can't remember where she put her keys, but she remembers all the other things she has to get on the grocery list. Because she didn't really care where she put the keys. She did, but she wasn't paying attention to that. So just because a person learns through Gemaras doesn't mean he's going to remember it. But a person learns, and every single word is a gem to him. Every single daf is a gem to him, and he really puts his lev into it, his emotions into it. That, says Chafetz Chaim, is a way a person is going to be able to remember much better. All right, so I'll open up if anyone has any questions. Otherwise, we'll just stop it here. And Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be zocha to finish off many, many times. Yeah, Yaakov.
I have a couple of questions. What are your thoughts about listening to a shir versus actually learning yourself?
Yeah, so I think that's a great question. I think listening to shir is just fine. I think that works just as well. It depends. Each person's memory works differently. There's seeing things inside. There's also listening. Some people work much greater with listening to things. Other people learn better with seeing. But I don't think there's any problem with listening to shir and accomplishing it that way. It's helpful.
I feel sometimes I'm learning and I'm not really getting it. It's like a hard sugi, whatever. So you don't get that geschmack, and then because you don't get that geschmack, like, you sort of, like, learn less, and, you know, you're not, like, so zarish to get the Rus on time or whatever, because it's, like, it's difficult to get through it. So, you know, you said earlier, sometimes, obviously, just to go through it is chashuv, obviously, but is there that feeling that, like, it's better to slow down a little bit, to understand better, so that you'll keep going?
If a person's going to give up, yes. But I would suggest, if you're trying to get on that path, I would suggest a person start with Ezer Masechtas and make Siyumim. I should mention earlier, making Siyumim, it's a chashuv thing, making Siyumim. The Gemara and Shabbos talks about the Indian of Siyumim. We know that a person can eat meat on Tisha B'Av 9 days, rather, for Masechtas. Siyumim is not a stam thing. It's a big thing. It's a big thing in Halacha. It's a big thing that inspires people to learn more. It really does. That's the only reason why a person should make a Siyum, not to accomplish any of his own goals, just to really help people learn more. So a person gets in the nice routine of finishing Megillah, Tainis, Chagiga, Yizhir Masechtas, and making Siyumim. It makes a chashu for the family, for the kids. Remember, the first time I made a Siyum, it was, I made a Siyum right when I came back from Eretz Yisrael and Masechtas Kedushin. I made it during the 9 days. Probably Api Halacha wasn't the best thing to do this way, but I had my parents invite all their friends to come because for them to see that. It was a chashuv thing. All their parents come have meat during the 9 days, so they really appreciated that, and that makes you feel proud and builds you some confidence, and that keeps you going. So, you have to choose wisely which masechtas to learn, though. You don't want to get caught up in an Erevin. I wouldn't say start with Yevamos. But once you've got so much under your belt, you're not going to give up at this point. Now, the person I mentioned before who learned 18 years, he didn't give up. But as long as you have the right masechtas, and I've advised people along the way what I think they should learn to help them. People text me, "Can I learn this now? I learned this. What should I learn?" So I make different suggestions of where they're holding to help them get to that goal. But you have to choose wisely. That's your answer. But you're a person who would mamish give up if they can't get through that Ian, then I would say learn it well. But I would really recommend don't get stuck. Keep going.
Times
that Daf Yomi?
Times when it's given.
Sure, 7 a.m. and then
8 p.m.
Okay. Daf Yomi plug. All right. Okay. Shkodaka. Oh, yeah.
One question. You brought down a great Gemara from Lazar over here that Rava says that even if you don't fully understand it,
mm-hmm.
but then after he mentioned using the art scroll.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you balance that, that you know it well enough to go weiter, to go further, but at the same time, Rav is saying that you could go weiter without fully understanding it.
Right.
So how do you balance that, where you feel good enough to go weiter, but at the same time not fully understanding it?
Right. It's a good question. Usually my gauge is, if I understand what the words mean, so then I'm comfortable. If I don't fully get the svaras or ian as much, then I'm comfortable moving on. I need to at least know pshat of the words. That's called translation. Translation of the words. So for me, I'll usually use art scroll for where I don't know what the words mean, like agaritas or medicines. I won't oftentimes use it for svara stuff. Sometimes I will, but not always.
But if you don't mind me asking, will you ever go vice even if you don't fully understand every point the Gemara made?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay.
Of course.